Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with Rod Oram. Morena, Rod, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, very well, thank you.
Are you enjoying level one so far?
Yes, although I'm still doing online conferences, of which I've been chairing one 3 days this week, which is working well, although we all know that it's not quite the same as being with people. So I'm looking forward to a bit more of the direct personal contact.
Well, let's start by having a little bit of a chat about level one and kind of what is this going to mean for the economy in New Zealand? What do we sort of need to see happen now to get things, get the wheels turning a little bit again? What do we need to do? Do we just need to go out and spend money? How does it work now, Rod?
We can do most things if you're not in the tourism sector or you're not in the overseas education sector. And I'll come back to those very important sectors in a moment. So in all other respects, business is now and the economy is now working normally. However, of course, to use a well-worn phrase, it's a very different normal because some things have changed. And a good example of that was the warehouse announcing that although it had kept its staff in place and government subsidy helped through the lockdown, it now needed to restructure its operations because people were shopping more online and some of its stores had become more marginal, and therefore it was closing some of them down, and therefore it was losing 1,000 jobs. So we're going to see more of that, and we just have to accept that that's a natural part of sort of evolution of the economy. However, make sure that there are mechanisms in place to help people get jobs. And the useful thing the government announced last week was free trade training for an extended period. That's fine, but it then immediately begs the question as who's going to do that training and what sort of advice do people get as to what trades to trade for, to train for, because it's a big investment of one's personal time, even if the training's free. And then you really want a job after that. So there's some very complex things to work through there. Mm-hmm. In terms of consumers, yes. I hesitate that, of course, the caveat there is that people should only go out and spend what they can afford. New Zealand households are already amongst the most indebted in the developed world. And that's not just mortgages, that's personal debt as well. So this would be a bad time, even at very, very low interest rates, to increase one's debt. So again, people need to adapt to these new circumstances in their consumer patterns as well. And then, of course, we get on to the very big question of when we open borders and how, so that we can start getting more overseas students in. I think there's a good case for them coming in earlier because they could go into quarantine, and I'm sure many of them would be willing to do so because they're long-term residents here. And then tourism, too, starting with a Tasman bubble, but bringing in the islands too sooner rather than later. These are, I think, some of the main markers about the routes ahead.
And how are we looking compared to the rest of the world? Like, what's going on overseas at the moment in terms of the economy? Because we're in the very fortunate position that we are able to reopen internally, at least in many significant ways. But that is obviously still not the case in other major countries around the world. What are we looking like on that scale?
We are one of only a handful of and the rest are very small countries which can claim that they have zero cases and zero transmission and hopefully no more deaths. But what the Prime Minister wisely has been reminding people is that it could still flare up even in the absence of people coming back across the border. You never know quite what's out there. So we are very well placed, but probably not as well placed, say, as Germany, which has much better testing and tracking and tracing than we do. So we shouldn't ease up on those two things. This will come back, and the better prepared for it we are with testing and tracking and tracing, the better we'll be able to shut that down again. Mm-hmm. So we are very well placed in that sense. Also, whilst our lockdown was one of the toughest in the world, almost one of the most restrictive, although gloriously we were able to exercise far more and be out and about far more than in other countries. There is still economic dislocation, but again, because it was a shorter period and the government stepped in with a number of very good and very generous, good and generous programs, such as the wage subsidy, again, whilst there will be shocks, as we were just discussing, that have yet to work through, again, I don't think we're going to be anywhere near as in difficult situation as countries where there is still a much higher level of illness with the virus than we have here.
I want to touch base on what's been going on with the armed response trials from the police, which have just been scrapped. And it's kind of sparked a bit of a conversation in New Zealand about how policing happens and what our style of policing is and what policing might look like going forward. Are you pleased, first of all, Rod, to see these trials ended?
Yes, I am, because they were sort of sprung on us with hardly any notice. In those three areas of Canterbury, Waikato and Counties Manukau, which the police chose because they said that that's the three districts which had the highest rate of firearms seizures. They were explaining, the previous police commissioner was explaining, it was further steps following the mosque massacres last year. It wasn't clear quite what was... the intention was to be able to get armed responders more quickly to situations because, as the police said, you never knew straight away whether somebody was armed or not. But this meant that there were more police on the streets kind of kicking their heels or just trying to do normal police work, but armed. And that is very clearly what New Zealanders didn't want. We do have a different policing culture here. It's much, much better than in the United States. My wife and I had a horrifying evening watching the first part of the Netflix program about the Central Park Jogger 5, which is the most from 1989, the most astonishing breach of any kind of policing and justice. That we're not like that here, but we're not perfect. So we do have to do a lot more work on this because the reality is that despite the firearms crackdown, there are firearms out there and we are going to see more incidents where firearms are involved and the police have to learn some new ways to respond to those faster.
And the last thing I wanted to have a chat to you about this morning is Oranga Tamariki, which is, we've seen a new report, the first of two, that is detailing some pretty harrowing accounts from 30 mothers who've had their babies uplifted. And we're talking about really small babies here, between the age of 0 and 3 months. And this is, you know, continued this conversation about when is the government going to make some significant changes. Do you think we're seeing any change at the moment, or are you hoping that it's going to be a quick action on the part of the government at this stage, Rod?
Well, the initial response from the government is that changes have been in place since July of last year, and there's finally funding to do some things differently, and more time is needed to see how that all beds down. But I think a great deal more intensity on the issue and a great deal more determination on it is needed. It is an extraordinary report, and I feel remiss because Andrew Beecroft, the Children's Commissioner, urged all New Zealanders to read it. And by all accounts, it's only about 74 pages, if you exclude all the end notes and everything else. And it is very, very distressing, even just from the news reports of it. So I think it's something that all of us in society need to, in a sense, take ownership of. That won't be for many of us necessarily in very direct ways, but take ownership of it because there is nothing in the world more fundamental than the relationship between children and especially newborns and mothers. This is clearly going horribly wrong still. Hugely disproportionately for Māori mothers.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Rachel. It's always a great pleasure to be on with you. So all the best in the meantime.
Fantastic. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.